minutes after 5, Monday morning, the 6th of Ramadan, 1442. Let's welcome our beloved listeners of Al Ansar International. Let's welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Mauna Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, the 6th of Ramadan, 1442, we focus on Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, regarding Joseph, peace be upon him, his honorable father, Jacob, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, and many, many related issues. Today we focus on chapter 12, verses 21-22. Briefly, what have we discussed thus far? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is a very young person. He sees a dream, 11 stars, the sun, the moon. He relates it to his honorable father. His father tells him, you should not relate this dream to anybody. People are jealous. They'll be plotting, planning, scheming against you. The brothers, 10 of them, they were 12. One was Shaqiq, the full brother, Benjamin bin Yameen, they shared the same father and the same mother. So they loved one another, but the other 10, the same father, but the mother was different. They were burning with jealousy and they had so much envy. They told the father, please let Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, come with us and he will play and so forth. The father said, no, I fear that you will not be looking after him and a wolf will come. That was the intention, to kill him, Allah forbid. Then they said, no, let us cast and throw him in the well. And thereafter 3 days, some people came, travelers from Midian going to Egypt via Palestine, and lo and behold, they sold him for a meager sum. Now what happens? He goes with those travelers from Midian. They were coming via Egypt, going via Palestine to Egypt. They reach Palestine, then they reach Egypt, and now Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is like a slave, and on the stock market they're selling him. People are auctioning and bidding for him, and who purchases him there in that market? Imagine a Nabi, a messenger of Almighty Allah, dumped in a well and then becoming a slave, Allah forbid, not in a true sense of the word, but according to the people, the challenges, vicissitudes and ups and downs of life. Now who bought him and who was successful in his birth? Chapter 12, verse number 21. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرَى. And the person who purchased him and bought him from Egypt. Who was this person who bought him? His name was Qitfir. So his name was Qitfir. He was a high-ranking officer in the government of the Pharaoh, the Fir'aun, and he was a minister. And remember his wife's name? Remember the name Qitfir, Zuleikha, are not mentioned in the Noble Quran, not mentioned in authentic hadith, but the Mufassirin, commentators, and books of history have mentioned it. So the person who bought him, bought Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam in Egypt, he now brings him home. But he realizes that this person here, he has some extraordinary qualities. Limra'atihi, he tells his wife Zuleika, lo and behold, they don't have any children. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was faqihu hadil ummah, one of the greatest jurists and scholars of this ummah, used to say, afrasu nasi thalath, that remember the most intelligent people with foresight and insight were three. Number one, the lady who told her beloved father, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam's daughter, ya abatis ta'ajir, oh father, why don't you employ him? Nabi Musa alayhi salam, because he is qawiyul amin, he is so active and strong and so honest, a man of honesty, integrity, intelligence. She suggested to the father, Allah Jalla wa Ala, through his infinite grace and mercy, made her Safura radiallahu anha, the honorable wife of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Imagine. Second, he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this Aziz and Misr, the minister, the high-ranking officer there in Egypt, when he told his wife, Akarimi Maswa, you must honor him. You must don't treat him as a slave. He's someone special. So treat him very, very well with honor and dignity. He knew that this person, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, has extraordinary special qualities and characteristics. So he, the Aziz and Misr, the second person, the minister there in Egypt. And the third one, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he already appointed during his lifetime and said that after my demise, the person who will be Amirul Mu'mineen and Khalifa will be Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arda. He, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, made the statement. Now the person purchased him, brought him home to the palace, and they were the elite people and high-ranking officers and ministers. So he addresses his wife, Suqitfir, addressing Zuleika, Akarimi Mathwahu, you treat him with honor, dignity. Asa ayyanfa'ana, perhaps he will benefit us. That so much barakat will come if we look after him well. Allah might bless us with the baby, with the child. Aunattakhidahu walada, or we will adopt him. When they just looked at his handsomeness, already they fell in love with him. Handsome Yusuf, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, handsomeness of Joseph, peace be upon him. Now he was in Canaan, in Palestine, and this is one of the reasons this entire surah chapter was revealed upon the Mubarak blessed heart of the Master alayhi salam. How did they come to Egypt? So this is how they came. First, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, peace be upon him. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Similarly, we gave authority, we gave power to Yusuf alayhi salam on this land, on this part of the world in Egypt. So remember, as the narrative goes, then you will see how he becomes a minister and ruler and so forth. And Almighty Allah, as his father taught him and informed him, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and we taught him, Almighty Allah, using the term we, the royal pronoun, a symbol of respect and reverence, stamping his authority. Allah teaches the prophets and messengers directly. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُصْطَفَى حَبِيبُنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. Allah Jalla Wala is teaching you that which you didn't know before. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ, and we were teaching him. Who? Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, peace be upon him. مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, the interpretation of the dreams. So many dreams, and he will interpret. A master par excellence, he was in that field as well. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, and Almighty Allah is all overpowering on his matters and affairs. Whatever he decrees will happen. When you visit Andalusia, Muslims Spain, 787 years our Muslims ruled there. Then if you go to the Hamra Palace, and that is there in Granada, which we went, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, then remember you will see in that palace, La Ghaliba Illahu, La Ghaliba Illahu. There's no one overpowering except him. It is his decree that will happen, and not our degrees. Remember that. The decree of Allah, always beg Allah. Remember that. Dil say, jaan say, beg Allah and see what happens in your life. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi, and Almighty Allah is all overpowering over his matters. Walakinna aktharan nas la ya'lamun, but majority of the people know not. They place their trust on their degrees, on their wealth, on their education, on their contacts, but they forget to make contact with Almighty Allah. Turn to Allah more and more. So ye Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, thrown and dumped in a well, sold as a slave, and then people auctioning for him and bidding for him, and now he's there in the palace. Walamma balagha shuddahu, now he's staying there in the palace. And when he reaches ashuddahu, his prime. What is his prime? When he reaches 33 years old. In Islam, you reach your prime when you are 33 years old. Ateinahu hukmahu wa ilma. Ateinahu hukmahu wa ilma. We gave him more and more wisdom. We gave him more and more knowledge. Every day his husn and jamal is increasing as well. So all Almighty Allah blessing him. He's a slave, but he's staying in the palace. That Al-Khudrat ka karishma. That is, you must remember, Allah Ta'ala manifestation of his power. So again, ya ateinahu, the plural is used. Same reason, Allah stamping his authority. Wa kadhalika najazil muhsinin. And similarly, Allah says, we will reward. Again, the plural, a sign and symbol of respect and reverence. Stamping his authority. I will do as I please, because I am fa'alul lima yurid. None in the universe and creation can question my authority, my sovereignty, my majesty. Wa kadhalika najzil muhsinin. Similarly, we reward the muhsinin, those who fulfill their duty with beauty. Link this with our Ramadan Mubarak 1442. O human being, do action solely, only for the pleasure of Allah. You put that 100 rand, 1,000 rand, 5,000 rand in that person's hand. No one knows, only you know, he knows or she knows, and Allah Jalla Wala knows. No name, no fame, and you forget about it. Lo and behold, in few days, few weeks, few months, or sometime years, you will see the barakat and the khairat coming, because we did things solely, only for the love of Allah. That is what Allah loves. Khalisatan li wajhihil kareem. When that action is done solely, only for the love of Allah. People will condemn us because they look at our faults, our shortcomings, our vices, our sins. But by Allah, that one tear that we cried in the darkness of the night, that will be enough to erase all our vices and sins. But for the love of Allah, not to impress people. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs Hajj. Hadith in Ibn Majah. And on the return now, entered Makkah on the 4th of Zilhijjah, returning on the 14th of Zilhijjah, is the 10th year after the Hijrah. The return journey, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites a dua that is a lesson for humanity and posterity. Allahumma ij'allaha hajjatan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, make this Hajj of ours. Obviously, Nabi alayhi salam's Hajj is 100% perfect, but to set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Ya Allah, make this Hajj la riya'a fiha, not to impress the eyes of people. Wa la sum'a, and not to impress the ears of people. Me and you, when we do actions, our intention is makhlut, is mixed up and polluted, adulterated, contaminated. We will say it's for Allah, but we want to impress people. So turn away from that. Don't worry of people. And then see in my life, your life. وَكَذَلِكَ نجزي المحسنين. How Almighty Allah will reward us from His unlimited treasures in Khazana. Remember that. That is Almighty Allah. Inshallah, today we will continue from 1:05 to 2 o'clock with the tafsir, and 2 to 2:30, Mondays to Thursday, every day, Monday to Thursday, special Q&A regarding Ramadan, related issues, whatever is in your mind. So between 2 and 2:30 daily, Monday to Thursday, on Marqas Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, and on Sirius FM, Insha'Allah al-Aziz.
Ustad Umi Sumeya from Lusaka, Zambia says, is it permissible to wear a watch on her hand for a widow, Ustad?
Remember that the husband passed away and now you want to wear a watch, totally permissible, there's no problem on that. You wear it in your right hand, in your left hand, all that is permissible. So that is not if your husband just passed away and you are in iddat. Iddat is the waiting period, 130 days, so during those days you can't be wearing jewelry, you can't be wearing new clothes, you can't be applying henna and mehendi. So all that for beautification you can't do, because this is your mourning period. But remember, a watch and all that, that's fine, there's no problem with that. And you should be making a lot of dua for your deceased husband. You, the children and the widow, all of you read, we all should be reading Surah chapter 14 verse 41, Rabbana gfirli wa liwalidayya wa lilmu'minina yawma yaqumu Hisab. Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning will be established. Umme Sumayya, do you know the meaning of Sumayya? Sumayya means sublime, exalted, very high. The first personality, male and female, to get martyred in the history of Islam was Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha, Yasir radiallahu anhu's wife, and Sayyidina Ammar's mother, and Abu Jahl, the enemy, the shaitan. He murdered and martyred her. This is Islam. The first personality to embrace Islam, our lady, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. The first personality to get martyred and receive martyrdom, a female and a lady, Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Ustad, if water goes down your throat mistakenly, does it warrant kafara or just want qadha?
Remember that you were gargling your mouth while performing wudu ablution, or whilst performing the ghusl and taking a bath, and then why must you pick your head up? So always let your head face down and don't raise it up whilst you are fasting. وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you gargling your mouth, you inserting water in your nose, so remember, then you don't pick up your head and so forth, because then the chances are the water will go down. So you keep your head facing down, open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, you will find this type of ahadith. So yes, the fast is broken once the water goes down your throat. Only one qadha is compulsory, no kafara, no 60 fast in that situation, in that condition.
I am a listener, new listener, my name is Tembiza from the township, Ustad.
MashaAllah, my brother Tembiza, from where you speaking to us? From Tembiza Township. So Allah Ta'ala reward you, and you keep on listening, inshaAllah. And whatever your questions are, you post them, 084-786-3132. And you want to join our group, make a note of my number, my WhatsApp number, Tembiza brother, and that will be 071-888-1184. You can't be listening to us 24 hours. So what we have done is majority of my programs, they are on podcast and so forth. So even this program every day, our brother Junaid Mota, Junaid Khan, he sends us the podcast and then we send it out. So my brother Tombe Tembiza, just send me a message on a joint group and we will add you to our group, 071-888-1184. Allah Jalla Wala grant you barakah and blessings, my brother.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ustad, so a lady is not allowed to work. Then how is she going to buy things for herself? The husband gives money for the household groceries, etc., but nothing for her personal silly needs. Like if she wants to buy a lipstick, He says it's wasting money, Mufti Sahab. Sometimes women like to spend ustad.
Remember in Islam, when the daughter is born, right till the day of her nikah and marriage, the expenses will be paid for by the father. And when she gets married, then it will be paid for by the husband till her death. Hence, from the cradle to the grave, she is receiving. From the womb to the tomb, remember, she is receiving. She's not the breadwinner as far as Islam goes. So the husband must use common sense, although common sense is no more so common. So remember, if you're giving your wife money for this, for that, so always give extra. You must remember, that is the akhlaqi farz, a moral obligation, that you give 100, 500, 1,000, 5,000 and extra, depending on your income. And when you give her the extra, then you don't ask her about it. If she's an intelligent lady, then you tell her in normal circumstances, I'm not speaking now, then you tell her, darling, honey, my poppy, you know what, I think we go for Umrah. She says, very good, even I saved up 5,000, 2,000. No, no, no. That's an intelligent lady, you see. So you must remember, that is Islam. And when I deliver my nikah lectures and my nikah talks, when people get married, I told the brother, see, today you are paying the mahar. You gave a Kruger coin, you gave 10,000 rand, 20,000 rand cash or jewelry, whatever. But don't let this be the first and the last. Every week, every month, you must pay your wife mahar. What I mean by mahar then? I mean the gift. So much she is doing. She is cooking, she's looking after the children, looking after you, cleaning the house, and so many portfolios. So remember, we must appreciate our wives. Surah chapter 4, verse 19. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, respect and justice. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, treat your wife better than that. That is what Islam is teaching us. Don't wait for her to ask. You must be the one. Take the initiative, honey. Take this money. So in that way there, that is the good husband. But remember, everything in moderation. So remember, that is what Islam is teaching, my brother.
Ustaz, I have very long eyelashes. Can I trim it while fasting?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informed us in the Noble Quran, chapter 4, verse 119, when Lucifer, one Satan, Shaitan, Satan, was expelled from Jannah and Paradise due to his jealousy, defiance and pride. Aba was takbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused and defied the command of Allah. Nay, I will not prostrate. I will not make sajda. To him, Adam alayhi salam, Nabi Adam, the masterpiece of Allah's creation. Ana khairum min, I'm better and superior to him. Hence, now he's expelled and kicked out. You must remember, from Jannah and Paradise. So what does he, Lucifer, Satan, Shaitan, Satan say? Wala amurannahum falayughayyirunna khalqallah. I will command them that, remember, they must change the creation of Allah. Look at today. You don't know who's who in the zoo. So you look from the back, you don't know his Steve or his Eve. So remember that. If the ladies are cutting their hair, from the back you look, we don't know is male or female. When you look at men, youngsters, I got a shock one day. I went, a person I know, the family. So I see the youngster coming to the masjid and he got earrings on. I thought I'm dreaming, hallucinating, what we call, you know. I look properly, I see that this guy, I think he's zigzag, you know. So today, transgender, Adam want to become Eve and Eve want to become Steve. So all these people are zigzag today. I was in Australia, New Zealand, first time in my life, especially many years ago. So now we're going there, you know, we went to New Zealand via Melbourne, via Australia and these places, transit. So, you know, you're in the lounge, mashallah, business class, for first, whatever lounge you are in. Then you go there, I see washrooms. male, female, and third one, mixed up gender or whatever it was written there, no gender or something. I look, I see, what's this going on? Then I realize these are the zigzag people. You understand? They don't know as man or fro. You understand? They male or female. So for them, they go in the third one there. See what has happened to humanity. So you must remember these things there. So for you to go and fiddle with your eyelashes, fiddle with your hair, fiddle with all this haram, not permissible. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ النَّامِسَ وَالْمُتَنَمِّسَ. The people, and you ladies especially, therefore is mentioned in the feminine, that does take beauty therapists and beautician and so forth. You want to style it this way and that way and cut this and all this haram, and the income also haram, not permissible.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see a student of Deen says, but didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, a wife must always look beautiful for her husband ustad?
Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the lady must be one who is presentable, very good for the wife, for the husband rather. But remember that the golden maxim always must be front of us. And what is that, my student, my brother? You're doing selective coating or selective amnesia. And remember the golden teaching, authentic hadith, Mishkat Sharif, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to any creation, whether it's parents, whether it's husband, whether it's teacher, when it leads to a sin against the creator. So whether it's a ruler, prime minister, or king, or whoever, there is no obedience in ma'asiyah, in sins.
So if I'm in a masjid, Ustaz, can I follow the tarawih via the phone?
So you must remember, if you are in the masjid, then your phones and everything must be switched off, they must be on silent. And every time I perform imamah, it is not every day, but two announcements I always make. I say, straighten the row, straighten the sufuf, and then number two, I say, bayo, that please switch off the cell phones. So it's not permissible for you. You are in the mosque, in the masjid, you must follow the imam. What you want to look in your cell phone and so forth. Surah chapter 23, verse number 2, Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. When you perform salat, it must be with devotion, concentration. I'm asking you, you're looking in the phone, the imam goes in ruku, sajda, you will have to switch it off, then again switch it on, all that. So what is that? That's playing in salat. So remember, all that unacceptable, not permissible.
Holding the Quran, Ustaz, and following Taraweeh?
Remember that for the imam to hold the Quran Sharif and lead the Taraweeh Salat permissible according to majority scholars. The person's name was Zakwan. And Zakwan was the imam and Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And them would follow him and the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. From there, remember, the Shafi'is, Malikis, humbly say is permissible. And if a person behind also holds the Quran, so the Salat will be valid, although it's better that the person at the back does not hold the Quran. According to the Hanafis, the fatwa verdict is this: whether is the imam, whether is the muqtadi, the muswalli, the person behind the leader, the imam, the salat fasadat salatuhu, the salat will be broken. Whether is the imam or whether is the person behind the imam, because there's amal kathir, you're doing too many actions that will nullify and break the salat. So therefore, not permissible according to the Hanafis.
Said the question, Ustad, Your Honor, sir, yesterday our brother Sebastian stood up in our congregation, announcing in public his belief in Islam, and declared to all of us that he is Muslim and Islam is the religion for all humanity. Thereafter, sir, falling to the ground and passing on, I am his brother Stephen. How should his burial take place? That of a Muslim or that of a Christian? All his life he was a staunch Christian. Who will bury him now? Sir, Ustaz, Stephen.
Stephen, our condolence to you and the family if this really happened, as you are saying, that he said he knows Islam, he recognizes the beauty of Islam, and then he passed away. So remember, the law in Islam is this, نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّ السَّرَائِرِ, that we pass the verdict on the prima facie evidence, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala knows what is in the hearts of people. So as far as we are concerned, my brother Stephen, regarding your brother, that is Sebastian, remember he did not utter the formula, he did not enter into Islam formally. So therefore our verdict will be that he'll be buried as a non-Muslim. But in his hearts of hearts, if he believed in Islam, if he believed in Almighty Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the articles of faith and so forth, from the bottom of his heart, that verdict and judgment Almighty Allah will pass. Remember that. That's why we have the Day of Justice, and therefore it is called Khafidatul Rafi'ah. Read chapter number 56. Me and you can say that this person here is so and so, but tomorrow on the Day of Justice, Rafi'ah, Allah elevates that person. And we think that this person is very good, but on the Day of Justice, Almighty Allah knows how they were selling Islam, how they were working, operating against Islam. So we thought they good, but Allah Ta'ala will make them khafida. Allah Ta'ala will humiliate and disgrace them. So that judgment is for Almighty Allah, not for me and you. But as far as we are concerned, my brother, regarding your brother Sebastian, he died and passed away a non-Muslim. So you bury him according to your rites and your rituals. But end of the day, the final judgment is that of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. That is the verdict. Once again, our condolences to his family and to you.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. See, Stephen says, thank you so much for putting this relief on our family. All of us are listening to you. I must say, he was a diehard listener of yours, AK, and he died in his 40s.
Yes, remember this. This is now an eye-opener for all of us, my brother. You of you, the family, Sebastian's family, that each one of you realize this now. Whether we young, whether we old, whether male, whether female, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. One day we all have to taste death. People are atheists, people are what? But they know death is definitely, is inevitable. So the question I'm posing to you, Stephen, and family, and our Sebastian's family, children, wife, mother, parents, whoever, that each one of us, let us do some introspection and ask ourselves, what have I done? What have I prepared myself to answer my Creator? He gave me everything. He gave us eyes, he gave us ears, he gave us everything, he gave us South Africa. Although we got crime, we got all corruption, we know all that, but compare ourselves to many other countries. So remember that so many things, is it not just but correct that we need to be loyal to him and we carry out his teachings, we accept him as the only deity, only one over of worship. Look for a constitution. That constitution that is in its pristine purity. No alter, no additions, no omissions, no interpolations. And that you will find only in the Quran. You know the Bible. You know the books and everything. The scriptures. How many times they were edited and changes and so forth. Even you see the opening, you will see according to. According to. Why according to? Because there are so many additions. Additions, omissions. So that is my message to you, that remember each one of us, let us look at what answer and response we will give to our greatest benefactor, and that is our Creator, the Almighty Allah. May Almighty Allah make it easy for you, the family.
Ustad, another one says here, good morning sir, we are a gang of druggies. I have a Muslim friend who is highly addicted, just like all of us. He's shy to ask on your radio if he can take his share after the late night prayers and fast during the day, Ustad.
Remember, you, the Muslim brother, you must understand that Islam stands for a religion that is pure, that is chaste, and that is clean all time, all places, all circumstances. You are his friends. Let's call you the Muslim guy's friend. So we are indebted to you. At least you picked up the courage and you're listening to us in the early part of the morning, and now you are sober, right? right? You're not on a high, so you must remember that. So at least you're listening to our message. We're indebted to you for that and posing the question.
Donovan.
Oliver is his name.
Donovan.
So you must remember, my brother Donovan, we're indebted to you and thank you very much. But you, the Muslim, now I'm addressing you. So you know you believe in the Quran, right? You believe in the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first point of reference will be the Quran. What does the Quran say? Ya ayyuhal ladhina. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu ritsum min amali shaitan. I will just give you the translation of the relevant portions. So this alcohol, this gambling, remember, is impure, is napak, is unclean, is the handiwork of shaitan and Satan and his agents. You must abstain. Fajtanibu la'allakum tuflihun. So that you are successful. Chapter 5, verse number 90. And what is the aim of the Shaitan and the Lucifer and the Shaitan? They want to create between you بينكم الأداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويسدكم عن ذكر الله والصلاة. They want that you must have hatred and you must have animosity internally, externally amongst one another, with the alcohol, with the drugs, and with the gambling. And then it prevents you from the remembrance of Allah and prevents you from salat. The question Allah is asking you, my Muslim brother, and you, Donovan, and your group there, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you stop now in your tracks? Will you stop? So remember chapter 5, verse 91. Hadith, Mishkat Sharif has a whole chapter on this. I'll just mention one. Man sharib al-khamra, whosoever takes alcohol, drugs and so forth, lam yaqbalillahu lahu salatan arba'ina sabaha. For 40 days, your salat, your damas is not accepted. Meaning, your salat will be valid provided you are sober and you know you are clean when you're reading salat. But your reward will be not the optimum reward, it will be decrease all the time. Do you want that, my brother, now in Ramadan? It's haram at all times, all places, the drugs, the mandrakes, the cocaine, whatever. You know better than me, we don't know these things, we just know few the name. So you must remember, so my brother, you, this is the golden time, fasting time, mashallah, you can stay without it. So if you can abstain, refrain 13, 14, 15 hours, so your willpower, remember, must be such. Ya Allah, I'm going to kick this habit out of my life. That's a sign that you are changing for the better. And my message to all of you, Donovan and the whole team, remember, it's bad and you are destroying your intelligence and intellect. Therefore, it's called khamr. Al-khamru ma yukhamiru al-aqla. That which destroys the intelligence and intellect. So kick the habit. All of you and become a proper, better human being. May Almighty Allah guide all of you.
One more question, Ustad. Third question. The brother says, "Dear Mufti Sahab, I'm the brother that gave my wife three talaqs last week. But Mufti Sahab, I know Allah is most merciful, most kareem. I was taught three is equal to one. Mufti Sahab, I really want my wife back. I miss my two daughters. She called me yesterday and she said, 'Daddy, come home. I really love you, my daughter Alia. Please, Mufti Sahab, don't break my family. Can I go back to my wife, Ustad?'"
It's not we who are breaking the family. We don't make the laws. We only explain the Quran Sharif. We explain the teachings of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You, my brother, go to the Quran and see. Chapter 2, verses 229, 230, and see what Allah says. فَإِنْ تُوَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. When you gave three talaq, you took the three bullets, you shot them, whether in anger or whatever the circumstances were. So you pulled the trigger. So how can we be to blame? How can we bend the rules? We can't do that, my brother. Number two, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that you must remember three talaqs are three. We are in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Next one, we are Muslims. You say you Muslim, I say I'm Muslim, and the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah is our constitution. So we are not like the Christians, that Trinity and three is one and one is three. So whoever is telling you that is not being honest. They're lying to you. They're going against the Quran. They're going against the Hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're going against all four schools. Whether you look at Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanafi, Hanbali, all of them say three is three. So therefore, my brother, you must cry, keep on making tawbah, and explain to your children, it was my fault. Don't blame your wife, and don't poison the mind of your daughter Aliyah and so forth. Say, your daddy made a big mistake in life, but I will try my level best that to bring you all up as true Muslims for the children. But you and your wife, you history now, my brother, you cannot reconcile with her, you cannot remarry her, and remember, they are history, and you must carry on with the geography now. So that is what people do. They shoot the person dead and say, I'm sorry. So that's what you did. You pull the trigger, so we can't change the rules. And you can't be crying and begging and so forth. No. Three talaqs are three, and we cannot help anybody now. So, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَمِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it's because of your own actions. So don't cry for sympathy and empathy, you blame yourself and don't blame anybody else. See you between 1 and 2:30 today, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.